This is a reading of Rudolf Steiner's book, The Threshold of the Spiritual World, and this is the afterword to the 1918 edition. When a soul wishes to acquire the capacity to penetrate knowingly into the supersensory world, it must first strengthen its powers so that it can, from within outward, develop an activity that is fundamentally picturing in nature. But such imagining or visualizing must be exercised to a greater degree than it is in ordinary consciousness, where it is used in connection with sensory perception. There, imagining is much weaker than perception. If imagining were practiced with only that ordinary intensity, the soul would never develop the faculties for entering the supersensory world. Although imaginative representation or picturing remains just that, it must become as strong as perception. It cannot stay at the level where it weaves a shadowy copy of visible things. It must concentrate itself into actual visible images. One creates living images. But in suprasensory perception, you do not use your soul strength only to linger in these images. You direct your attention away from the images themselves and toward your own activity of creating them. By doing so, you will find an inwardly strengthened self-awareness. As you practice this soul exercise for weeks, months, or perhaps longer, you may also notice that by becoming aware of your strengthened self-awareness, you enter into a relationship with a supersensory world. At first, contact with that world is chaotic. You experience it through general feeling impressions. Slowly, however, an objective, differentiated world of images forms out of the chaos. You will then realize that your practice of creating images now makes it possible for outer spiritual reality to weave together with the images produced by your strengthened self-awareness. These images reveal themselves to be reflections of an objective suprasensory world. More precisely, this is the experience the images woven in soul encountered by the soul on its way to the spiritual world. See Aphorism 2. If while striving for suprasensory consciousness you clearly experience these inner processes, you will find them to be an infallible way to distinguish suprasensory reality from illusory fantasy. In Aphorism 2 I write that the images of a consciousness at the beginning of suprasensory experience, quote, are initially a kind of curtain that the soul places between itself and the suprasensory world when it feels touched by that world, unquote. The use of the word curtain is justified, for at first those images serve only to raise self-awareness into the suprasensory world. By means of the images, you experience yourself as a spiritual being, but you do not see through them any objective suprasensory outer world. It is like having sightless, unilluminated eyes in your physical organism. The outer world cannot unfold its activities to them. In a sense, you have to allow your own constant activity within the pictures weaving in your soul to render them spiritually transparent. Let me read that sentence again. In a sense, you have to allow your own constant activity within the pictures weaving in your soul to render them spiritually transparent. Gradually they will become transparent through their own development. They will become such that you no longer see them, but you feel them living in your soul. And through that living feeling in the soul, you perceive the nature of suprasensory reality. As we enter the suprasensory world, one of the first perceptions our heightened self-awareness initially enables us to see is how we are connected to the beings of that world through sympathies and antipathies, Aphorism 9. These experiences make us aware that to enter the suprasensory world, our thinking must leave the sensory world. You can, of course, describe what you see in the suprasensory world with images taken from the sensory world. For example, you could say that a being reveals itself through the appearance of colors. Those who hear such descriptions of suprasensory beings, however, should never forget that a genuine spiritual researcher intends to say only that what he or she experienced is something like the impression of the corresponding color on sensory consciousness. Those who imply by their description that what was before their consciousness was the same as sensory color is not a spiritual researcher, but a visionary, or a victim of hallucinations. Experiences of sympathy and antipathy, however, present the first suprasensory impressions of the suprasensory world. Some people are deeply disappointed when spiritual researchers say that they use images taken from the sensory world only to illustrate what they see in the suprasensory world. Such people do not really strive to know a suprasensory world different from the sensory. They want the suprasensory world to be a kind of double of the sensory world. They think that the suprasensory world should merely be subtler, more etheric than the sensible world. They believe that understanding it should not require thoughts any different from those needed to understand the sensory world. Those who truly wish to approach the spiritual world must become comfortable with acquiring new thoughts and new ideas. Those who can imagine only a watered-down, misty duplicate of the sensory world will never grasp the supersensory world. The power of memory, a well-practiced human capacity that plays such a significant role in the soul life of ordinary consciousness, plays no such role in perceiving the supersensory world. In order not to misunderstand aphorism 9, you must take that into account. The human soul possesses the power of memory for its life in the physical world. This is because it exercises its activity in this life through its bodily organization. When the elevated soul faces beings and processes in the suprasensory world, it no longer exercises the power of memory. At first, the soul can only view what that world presents. But no memory of those impressions remains after the soul returns to its physical body. However, this situation does not continue. The soul takes from its experience in the physical world an echo of its faculty of memory. Through this, it is able, while in supersensory experience, to know, I am the same here in the spiritual world as I am there in the sensory world. Without this capacity for memory, the soul would lose the internal coherence of its self-awareness. Apart from that, self-awareness, elevated to the supersensory world, also acquires the ability to transform the impressions of that world so that they impress the body, just as sensory impressions do in the physical world. This enables the soul to retain a kind of memory of suprasensory experiences that would otherwise be forgotten. In the physical world, the effect of impressions enables us to remember them later. In the suprasensory realm, however, we must do something that enables us to remember those experiences later when we return to normal consciousness. Everything in suprasensory experience must occur in the full light of consciousness. Spiritual researchers nevertheless have difficulty retaining their memories of suprasensory experiences. They cannot easily tell them to others, quote-unquote, from memory. When they have to recount their experiences, spiritual researchers often have to recreate the soul conditions under which they had the particular experiences so they can see again what they are asked to recount. The relationship between supersensibly experienced pictures and their corresponding reality, see aphorism 10, is not as simple as that which exists between soul impressions and sensory objects or processes. In the case of supersensory images, consciousness must completely see through this relationship. It is not as simple as having a table in front of you. In that case, the table stands before the soul, and what then happens in the soul is not conscious, or, if it is quite shadowy. When perceiving a suprasensory being, even if you have made the image of it transparent, as described above, you will experience that image as a feeling experience within your self-consciousness. And precisely because you have immersed yourself in this feeling experience with suprasensory consciousness, the reality arises before the soul. But this experience can and must be clearly distinguished from the experience of the image. You must not allow these two experiences to flow into one another, for that is the source of illusions about what you have experienced. The end of the afterword, and that is the end of the reading of the book by Rudolf Steiner entitled The Threshold of the Spiritual World. This is from the collected works of Rudolf Steiner. It is actually two volumes, volumes 16 and 17. The first, volume 16, is entitled A Way of Self-Knowledge, and the volume 17, the one I just finished reading, is called The Threshold of the Spiritual World.